Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. My name is George. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Grace Point, and I just want to welcome each and every one of you to our time of worship this morning. On the way into the auditorium, you would have received a worship folder. I invite you to take that to hand. Inside is a message outline, and on the back of that, a reflection guide, a discussion guide. So grab a pencil or a pen and make some notes together, or if you want, just enter that information on your phone. I want to begin this morning with two questions, but first of all, if this is your first Sunday with us in the new year, I just want to welcome every one of you, wish you a happy new year, wish you much joy and health this year. I want to also let you know that starting next week, we're going to be starting a new series on living the three-dimensional life, and after that, we're going to be taking a look at your health and the various aspects of your journey, your spiritual health, your relational health, your professional health, your emotional health, all that sort of stuff. So really, you're going to want to make it a priority to not miss any of the next weeks heading right into Easter. Lots of important stuff that we're going to be covering in the next week. So invite you to make a commitment to be here every Sunday morning as we take a look at some really important life-shaping things that we're going to be discussing. So two questions that I want to start off with this morning. The first one is this. What is the most spiritual activity that we engage in? What is the most spiritual activity that we engage in? And this will be the dialogical part of the morning. I'll only give you like 30 seconds, and the rest of that you're going to have to listen to me. What is the most spiritual activity that we engage in? Let me hear it from you. Worship, reading the Bible, praying, helping others, loving people. Okay, anything else? Singing, did I catch that right? I'm getting old, hard of hearing. Yeah, good, I think I got that one. Good. Those are all good things, but they're not right. There's something that precedes each one of those things, whether it's reading the Bible, whether it's talking with God, whether it's helping other people, whether it's worshiping, any of those things. There's always something that precedes each one of those things. What is it? It's sleep. Sleep. I've asked this question several times. That's the best answer I've ever gotten. Yeah, I sleep before I do everything. Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't make fun because I'm sleep deprived. Maybe I'd be smarter if I slept more. Pardon me? Deciphering? The one thing that precedes each one of those things is the decision to do those. The most spiritual activity that we engage in every day is choosing. It's choosing. It's one of the reasons why we're also starting this new year with the series, Life Shaping Choices. The most spiritual activity you and I engage in every day is choosing. It's choosing to worship. It's choosing to spend time alone with God. It's choosing to serve that person. It's choosing to love. It's choosing to show some care. It's choosing to share my story. There's a choice that precedes each one of those. The next question I want to ask you is this. If God were to say to you, I will give you anything that you want in life, just name one thing, I'll give it to you. The choice is yours. What would you ask for? I'd like to have a better job. I'd like to have fewer problems. I'd like to get married. I'd like to have children. I'd like to get out of debt. I'd like to have no more conflict in my relationships. What is it that you would ask for if God would grant you anything? Well, God actually asked someone this question in the Bible, and it was Solomon. Solomon was the son of King David. Later on, Solomon would become king. And God asked Solomon one day, he said, Solomon, what would you like for your life? You're going to be king of this nation. What would you like? I'll give you anything you ask for. What is it that you want? Name one thing, and I'll give it to you. And what's really interesting is what Solomon didn't ask for. Solomon did not ask for comfort. Solomon did not ask for fame. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for pleasure. He simply said to God, God, if there's one thing I want, it's that I want you to give me wisdom. I want you to give me wisdom. Now, if God had asked me that question, what's the one thing you want in life? I'm not sure I would have asked for wisdom. It may have been on my list, but I can't tell you for sure that it would have been at the top of my list. And I suspect it wouldn't have been at the top of your list either. But Solomon, out of all of the things that he could have asked for, said, God, more than anything else, what I want is I want you to make me wise. I want to live wisely in life. And God was so impacted by Solomon's request that he said, Solomon, not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm also going to give you these other things. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you fame. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you those things that everybody else longs for because you want wisdom above all these things. I wonder if we understand how important living wisely is. I don't think we feel the full impact of it, realizing that it's the key to literally everything else that we do in life. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs 8, verse 11. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing else you could ever want is as valuable. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. I found out this week that the highest quality rubies are 10 times more valuable than diamond. And God is saying wisdom is far more valuable to your life than you could possibly imagine. Nothing else is as valuable as having wisdom. And if you would like to get wisdom in your life, it will bless you in every other area of your life. Proverbs 4:7 says this, getting wisdom is the most important thing that you can do. And I don't know how many of us would have thought that, but it's the most important thing that we can do is to get wisdom. So what is wisdom? Well, wisdom, one could say, is seeing life and living life from God's point of view. It's doing life from God's perspective. Well, we know that wisdom isn't knowledge. Okay, you can get knowledge a lot of places. You can go to school, you can go to technical college, you can go to university, you can do an apprenticeship, you can get all kinds of diplomas and certificates and degrees. You can get a lot of knowledge, but it doesn't mean that you're living wisely. A person can be highly educated, but can still be living unwisely. Wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Many educated people are unwise, and a lot of uneducated people do live with wisdom. Because wisdom is living life from God's perspective. And getting wisdom, the Bible tells us, is the most important thing that we can do. So this morning I'd like us to look at two things. Why getting wisdom and living wisely is so important, and how to get it and then to live it. Now, fortunately, Solomon, the one who asked for wisdom, helped author a book on wisdom, on how to live wisely. And we've been quoting from it this morning already. It's the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters of what life can look like if you live life from God's perspective. Okay? Let me read to you the introduction to the book of Proverbs to explain how important it is. So take your phones to hand, your tablets, your Bibles, and look up Proverbs chapter 1, the verses 1 to 6 with me. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Here's what it said. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. Those two things, by the way, travel together. You want to be wise, you're going to need to learn to be disciplined. Wisdom and discipline are traveling companions. Right? The purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become ever wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise, and their riddles. Over and over again throughout the Bible, God stresses the importance of wisdom. He says it's the number one thing that we should be hungering for in life. Because if you get wisdom, it's going to affect every other thing in your life for the better, for the good. Proverbs 9:12 says this, for instance. If you become wise, you'll be the one to benefit. There is personal benefit in becoming wise. But if you scorn wisdom, you'll be the one to suffer. Why is that? Many of the problems that come in life, they come from a lack of living with wisdom. The reason that some people have a really serious financial burden in their life is because they've made some unwise financial decisions. The reason that people get into relational issues can stem from the fact that they're making foolish choices in their relationships. Okay? The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to death. It ends in destruction. In other words, I may make decisions with my money that seem right to me. It might seem like the right thing to do, but I actually be making an unwise decision, and it ends in trouble. There are things that I might do in my relationships, decisions that I might make in my relationships that seem wise to me. They seem like the right thing to do, but they could actually be foolish, and I ultimately injure another person or myself in that relationship. There are career moves that might seem right to me, but if they're unwise, they could lead to great difficulty professionally. So if I pursue wisdom, if I learn to live life from God's perspective, I'm going to benefit from it. I'm going to be wiser, and the Bible says I might even have fewer problems. I'm going to have more success in my life. And the book of Proverbs lists all kinds of reasons why wisdom ought to be something that we should pursue in life. There are so many different reasons. I'm going to just quickly give you seven of them that you can note on your outline. Seven reasons why you should be pursuing wisdom in your life. How wisdom benefits how living with wisdom benefits you in your life. And I'm just going to put the verses up there. You can make the notes on them. The first one comes from Proverbs 24:14. It says, wisdom is good for the soul. We all need good soul food. Wisdom is good for the soul. And the second thing it says there says, get wisdom and you'll have a bright future. Wisdom is good for the soul and it gives you a bright future. Living wisely does these things. It nourishes your soul. It makes your future bright. Secondly, it says, those who get wisdom do themselves a favor, and those who love learning will succeed. Proverbs 19. Okay? You want to be successful in life? Learn to live wisely. The more wisdom you have, the more success you will experience. Another one. It says, wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. The wiser you are, the better you'll manage your time. And the better you manage your time, the more you're going to have of it. One of the things I'm trying to teach my sons is to develop a strong work ethic. It's important to work hard. It's equally important to work smart, right? Use your time wisely. Living with wisdom adds years to your life. Another one here says, wise people will gain an honorable reputation. You want to have a good reputation? Be known as a person of character? Live with wisdom. The wiser you are, the better of a reputation you'll have. I'm pretty sure that most of you want 2016 to be a better year than 2015. All of us want that. Well, this is a wisdom issue. Proverbs 15:24, note this down, says, wise people's lives get better and better. Why? Because if you're living with wisdom, chances are you're not making the same mistakes over and over again. Okay, the wiser I live, if I live with more wisdom, my life will be better. I'm not repeating the errors of the past. Okay, and then there's one more. Make a note of this one. Proverbs 4:5 says, learn to be wise and you'll develop good judgment. I think what all of us want as we make choices in life, as we engage in the most important spiritual activity of choosing, we want to have good judgment. We want to make good choices. Okay, so these are just a few of the many benefits of wisdom in your life. There are many more reasons, but this is why we should begin to, at least this morning, develop a hunger to grow in wisdom. But like everything else, living wisely is a choice. You've got to learn to be wise. So let's take a look at five ways the Bible encourages us to grow in wisdom and to live with wisdom. And what's beautiful is that Scripture doesn't pull any punches on this. It's quite clear that if you choose to do certain things, you make certain choices, you will become a wiser person. And that's why, again, why we're talking about this at the beginning of the year, it should be on our heart to become people of wisdom, to make good choices, choices that honor God, to put a smile on His face. And the question that we have to actually ask ourselves is, if wisdom does have the benefits that we've just listed and so many more, why don't we live more wisely? Why don't people live with wisdom? And the answer is that it's just more difficult. It's more challenging to live with wisdom. It's easy to make foolish decisions. It's challenging to make wise decisions. And sadly, we too often choose the easy way. We choose the easy thing to do, the simple thing. We choose, as we talked about last week, we choose the short-term gain, but then invite the long-term pain. And what the Bible tells us to do is, if we want to live with wisdom, we need to invite the short-term pain to experience the long-term gain. And wisdom has to be learned. But the Bible also tells us that if we do these five things that we're going to talk about, we will grow in wisdom. And the truth is, you are never too old to learn to be wise. And you are never too young to learn to be wise. Wisdom has absolutely nothing to do with your age. Being old chronologically doesn't simply mean that you're more wise. We would hope that to be true. And in many cases, it is. But you can be old and live foolishly. And you can be young and live wisely, right? It's possible for me to grow older without growing up, okay? And you can be a young person and be living with wisdom. So how do I learn to be wise? Well, the book of Proverbs says there's five things that you can do. And the first thing it tells me to do is this. If I want to learn to grow in wisdom, I firstly must listen to God every day. If I want to live life from His perspective, I have to get to know what His perspective is. I've got to immerse myself in God's word. I've got to listen to what He's saying to me every day, because this is where wisdom comes from. Proverbs 1:7 out of the Message says, start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It starts with God. Proverbs 2:6 says, it is the Lord who gives wisdom. From Him come knowledge and understanding. Listen, you're not primarily going to be getting wisdom from TV, from the internet, from magazines. Wisdom has its source in God. It boggles my mind that sometimes we will spend more time reading and listening to things that we know are not true than we attend to those things that actually are true and help us grow in wisdom. There are a lot of things in life that you can read about, but they won't help you live more wisely. So the Bible is very clear. You want to grow in wisdom, you want to live life wisely, you need to start with God. Listen to Him every day. And one of the most important habits you can establish in your life is a daily quiet time alone with God. To nurture our relationship with God, we've got to spend time. And developing a daily quiet time is when you take 15 to 20 minutes every day to get alone and to get quiet before God. You hit the pause button in your life, regardless of what time of day it is, and you simply move into His presence away from all of the distractions, and you talk with Him. You listen to what He has to say to you through the Bible, or through a devotional material that is based on the Bible. You listen to the truth of God's Word. You take it in. You hear His thoughts. You learn what His perspective of life is. And then you make a note of it. So you develop this habit of meeting alone with God every day. God is a communicating God. He wants to speak to us. And we need to take the time to listen to Him, to learn what His perspective on life is. And it's so vital that we hear from Him every day. And I'm not talking about thunder and lightning sort of listening. I'm talking about the God who speaks in the stillness, in the quiet. The God who communicates what His desire for our life is. The God who communicates His perspective on how to do life. Now, many of you have at some point in your life developed the habit of having a daily quiet time. You've done this in the past, but somewhere along the line, you may have gotten discouraged, you may have given up, and you're not doing it anymore. And you're noticing that it's affecting your life because you don't have this truth input. You don't have this God perspective setting your agenda for life anymore. You're not growing in wisdom as you once were. You're not spending time connecting with God every day. So let me encourage you this morning, don't allow that to be a historical thing. Reestablish that connection. Reestablish that discipline that we talked about earlier, okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 15:14, a wise person is hungry for truth while the fool feeds on trash. Some of you need to put that as a screensaver on your phone before you start surfing the net or on your computer screen. I'll make a little note of that right below your TV screen. The wise person is hungry for truth while the fool feeds on trash. Whatever you fill your mind with is ultimately going to reveal itself. It's going to come out. If you want to be wise, you've got to feed on truth every day. Not trash. Feed on truth. Right? Wise people protect their mind. They put on the helmet of salvation. They don't just allow anything into their mind. They guard it as one of their most valuable resources. Yeah, and a lot of things, and I want you to hear me well on this, a lot of things aren't necessarily wrong to watch or to read. But you have to use your discernment. Some of them are not helping you. They're just not necessary. And so the wise person says, there are certain things I'm not going to put into my mind because they're harmful, they're hurtful, they're not helpful, they're not leading me in the way of wisdom. The wise person feeds on truth. It helps them grow in wisdom in their relationships, in their use of time, in how they handle their money, in how they conduct their business, in how they structure their relationship, in how they do their parenting. All because they're filling themselves with truth, listening to God every day. So the Bible says, if I want to grow in wisdom, the most important thing that I can do to get this whole thing going is to spend time alone with God every day. I need to listen to what He's saying. And the next step in growing in God grows out of that. And that is, I need to spend time with those who are wise. I need to do life together with other people who are sharing the journey with me, who are seeking to grow in wisdom themselves. If you're going to be wise, you've got to hang out with people who are hungry to live wisely. If you don't have any of those people in your life, be on the lookout for them and offer to take them out for coffee regularly. I'm so fortunate that one of the things that I get to do is to spend time with people, have a coffee with them. I did that this week with someone who's very dear to me. And I learn when I spend time. I grow in wisdom. It means so much to me. Right? Every one of us needs a few good friends. Friends who build us up, not tear us down. Friends who themselves are hungering to live wisely. These are the kind of people that we need to hang around. And we always grow with the help of others. You can't grow to spiritual maturity all by yourself. You just can't do it. I mean, you could withdraw from the world. You could retreat to the top of a mountain. You could spend your life alone reading volumes of material, and you would not grow in wisdom. You'd grow in knowledge, but not wisdom. Because wisdom shows up primarily in relationship. That's why a lot of people, and I say this as someone who's pro-education, parents, I want you to hear me. All right, I'm for education, but there's a lot of people who've got graduate degrees and then some. They're educated beyond their own intelligence, And their relationships are unraveling because they're not living life from God's perspective. You can be smart, but unwise. You look at a person's relationships to see if they're actually wise or not. The quality of the rest of your life will largely be determined by the people you choose to keep company, the people who you keep close to, the kind of friends you choose, and how close you keep them to yourself. If you build relationships with those in your life who are wise, who are ahead of you on the journey, who themselves are hungering for wisdom and to live wisely, you are going to grow in wisdom. This was so close to the heart of the Apostle Paul that in his first letter to the church that was meeting in the city of Corinth, he says to them, "Friends, I want you to remember this. Bad company corrupts good character." And that's a life principle across all age groups. Right? It doesn't mean that we should not go out into the world and try to meet the needs of people who are bad characters. We actually need to be with people who are bad characters. We do. These are the people that God wants us to make an impact on. He wants us to win them. But who are your closest friends? Who are your closest friends? We all need friends who pull us up, build us up, not pull us down. If you've got people in your life who are just pulling you down all the time, they're really not your friends, because true friends will build you up. So we all need to do life with those who are wise, with those who are hungering for wisdom as we are, for those who are concerned about our spiritual well-being, with those who we share the journey of life with. Proverbs 13:20 says this, "Spend time with the wise and you will become wise, but friends of fools will suffer." So let me ask you this question. Do you have anybody in your life with whom you're meeting regularly who is wiser than you, or who is encouraging you to pursue living wisely in your life? Someone who has your best spiritual interests at heart, who wants you to be growing in God, who's encouraging you to do the right thing, not the wrong thing. Do you have someone in your life with whom you're meeting regularly? If not, what is keeping you from doing that? We all need people like that. So here's what I'm going to encourage you to do as we stand at the beginning of a new year. What day is it today? January 10th, right? We're only 10 days in, folks. The year's not over. Don't give up on your gym membership just yet, all right? If you haven't been successful in the first 10 days, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be successful in the remaining 355. You can do this. Lean into this, all right? So here's what I encourage you to do. Go out and have a cup of coffee with one or two friends and agree to meet regularly. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to agree to, in some way, be in the Word together. Here on staff, we have made the decision that we follow something called the Moravian Text. The Moravians were a great group of people all around the world. They had a passion for God and for introducing Him to other people. And they've got this Bible reading plan where you read through the Bible in its entirety every 3 years. And as a staff, we've decided that we're going to follow the Moravian Text. Okay, if you just put it into Google, Moravian Text, it'll come up. Okay. And we choose to do that. And every day, whoever's at work in the morning at 9 o'clock, we meet in our counseling room and we ask two questions. What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? And so we talk about how God is speaking to us. So we're trying to lean into and really live this first point of, if you want to grow in wisdom, you've got to be listening to God. So get a friend, agree to read the Bible together, or some devotional material that is Bible-based, read that together, and come back and report and talk to one another about, what is God saying to you, and how are you putting that into practice? Get friends, one or two friends. You don't have to have a whole group, just one or two friends. Agree to meet regularly. Talk about what God is saying to you, about what you're doing about it. And then invite them to hold you accountable to the commitments that you've made at the beginning of this year. Invite them to follow up with you to see if you're actually following through on the commitments that you've made. Okay, just get started that way. And this is so very valuable that you should even offer to buy them coffee to meet with you. I'm not kidding. It is probably the best investment that you will make for your personal growth this year. Do this. Do this. Proverbs 12:15 says, "Fools think they need no advice, but the wise listen to others." You need to get spiritual input from friends. So there's a third step here. If you want to learn to live with wisdom, the first thing the Bible tells us is you've got to be listening to God every day. Then you've got to be doing life together with friends who are also pursuing living in wisdom. We need to be encouraging one another in these things. And then the third thing, in the context of that relationship, we need to be asking good questions and we need to be accepting correction. If you want to learn to be wise in life, if you're going to become a wise person, you're going to have to learn how to ask questions and you're going to have to learn how to accept correction. You're going to need to adjust your life to the truth that you're hearing. Okay? The Bible says that people's thoughts are like a deep well, but someone of understanding has to draw it out. In other words, everybody's got something to teach you. It's like the water that's deep in a well, but you've got to somehow be able to draw it out of them. How do you draw wisdom out of a person? It's by asking good questions. And you can learn from anybody as long as you learn to ask the right question. So asking questions and accepting correction is a key to growing in wisdom. Look at Proverbs 18:15. It says, intelligent people are always open to new ideas. In fact, they look for them. Right? One of the signs of wisdom is that you're open to new truth. You're open to new ideas. Right? In order to do that, you have to be listening. Okay? I've discovered a life principle. It's tough to be listening when you're flapping your gums. Right? It's hard to listen when you're talking. So you've got to quiet yourself and you've got to listen. If you don't listen, you're not going to grow. And you really can learn from anybody, but you've got to be willing to listen. So you ask questions. Tell me more about this. And accept correction. You adjust your life to the truth. That's the mark of a wise person. Proverbs 19:27 says this, if you stop learning, you will forget what you already know. Some of you, the moment you got your diploma, your certificate, your degree, you walked out and you said, I'm so glad I'm finished with my education. And it shows. It shows. You said, thank goodness I don't have to do any more of that book learning the rest of my life. And it shows. If you stop learning, you not only stop learning, but you start forgetting what you knew because you're not exercising your brain. If you're not continually learning, growing, developing, studies tell us then your brain actually starts to shrink, which just might explain some of the things that are happening in your home. Okay? You're not learning anymore. You're not doing some of those things that you need to be doing. So we need to keep on learning, keep on growing. And that leads seamlessly to the next key to living with wisdom, and that is you need to remember the life lessons that you've learned. In fact, you need to review. One of the best things I've started doing this last year and a half is at some point in the day, I do this quiet time thing. I get alone with God and I just remove all other distractions and I just listen. And every day I note one thing down that I feel him impressing upon. And I just open up a special Word document on my computer and I just note what he's done. And at some point in the week, or at the very least at the end of the month, I go back and I review all of the things I sense God was saying to see if there's a pattern. Because God is wanting to shape our life. He's wanting to communicate with us. And so I want to remember the lessons that I've learned. I don't want to have to go back and relearn them over and over again. And I think we've all been at the point where we've learned a life lesson and then with great difficulty, we had to relearn it again because we didn't own it the first time. And by the way, that's the reason why we give you these message outline, okay, and reflection discussion guides, because we want you to review what we've talked about. We want you to remember and to reinforce what we've learned. Studies show that we forget 90 to 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours. So if you're an instructor of any kind, whether you're a grade school teacher, an instructor at a technical college, a professor, a pastor, you have to find ways of helping people remember life's lessons. The sad thing for me is that by Wednesday morning, you've forgotten virtually everything that we've talked about on Sunday. And that makes me really sad. And so we give you a little piece of paper to try to help you remember, okay? So note down what we're talking about. Review it. Remember the life's lessons, okay? That's why those discussion guides, those sermon outlines are there. Proverbs 22:17 says, listen, and I'll teach you what the wise have said. Study their teachings, and you will be glad if you remember them and if you can quote them. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. Oh, now he's going to talk about memorizing stuff. He's going to start talking about memorizing stuff, and I am. Did you know that memorizing actually improves your brain power? It doesn't even matter what you're memorizing. It improves your brain power. You could memorize a recipe book. You could memorize the telephone book, right? Memorizing stuff actually is like exercise for your mind. You get smarter when you attempt to memorize things. Now, what people normally say is, well, I'm not good at memorizing anything. Well, you can be. We generally remember what's important to us. You remember what matters to you. And I've heard people say, well, I can't memorize the Bible. My mind just doesn't work that way. And yet some of you can quote every hockey statistic from this last year. Some of you know who's in the wild card in football this weekend. You know what the quarterback stats are. And you have a pretty good guess as to who's going to win, right? Some of you can quote the lyrics to a whole bunch of crazy songs. I found myself the other day, please forgive me for this, singing one of Drake's songs, right? You know that song? You used to call me on the cell phone, right? And my boys are looking at me, both eyeballs in one socket. They're like, what? Dad, grow up, man, right? We remember things that are so meaningless. Some of you, you can tell me the specs of the latest vehicle models. Oh, yeah, it's got a 2.5 liter engine, this much horn torque. We remember what's important to us. If the truth becomes important to you, you'll do a little bit of work to try to remember it and reinforce it. And people sometimes ask, well, why should I memorize the Bible? Well, the truth of it is, it's like developing a library that you can call upon in a time of need or a time of temptation. If you begin to store truth in your mind, you will have a library, a database, a resource bank upon which to fall in a time of challenge, in a time of need, in a time of temptation. If you don't store truth in your mind, there's nothing for God to bring to mind when you need it. Solomon knew this. And look what he writes in Proverbs 4. He says, "Don't lose sight of my words." He's saying, remember them, review them, reinforce them. "Let them penetrate deep within your heart, for they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meaning." So if you really want to have something bring life and health to your day, to your journey, then you need to fill your mind with the truth. Let it penetrate your heart so God can bring it to mind. And finally, and we'll wrap up with this, we need to put into practice what God has said. We need to live it. So we begin by listening to the truth. We get alone with God. We say, "God, what are you saying to me today?" And that means spending time in his word. We then get together with other people who are sharing that journey, who are also seeking to be wise. And we see what God is saying to us. Okay, we ask questions. We accept correction. We adjust our lives to the truth. We reinforce those truths that are being given to us. We remember what we've learned. And then we need to go out and we need to live it. And this is woven deeply into every day. You don't do all these things and then at the end of your life start living wisely. No, you live now. And part of growing in wisdom is learning to live it now. And we all stumble. We all fall. We will all make mistakes. But we can't just talk about these things. We need to be doing them. If you don't do it, if you're not living it, you're not wise, no matter how much knowledge you might have. So let me give you an example. Let's just say that I want to lose a little bit of that weight that I gained over the Christmas holidays. And I go home and I pull out one of my favorite diet and exercise books. We've got them at home. And tomorrow, because I'm not starting today, I'll start tomorrow. No, I go home today, right after church, because I'm learning this stuff. I'm putting it into practice. Today, right after church, I go home and I sit back in our sofa. And let's say I grab the good word about diet and exercise. But at the same time, I reach for my two favorite snacks. I reach for my zesty cheese Doritos and I reach for my Cheetos. And I wash it down with the gospel drink, Pepsi, right? It's all good Christians drink Pepsi. Only the unconverted drink Coke. So I put my... It's true. It's right there in Second Delusions. Anyways, so I get my two bowls, bowl of zesty cheese Doritos and my bowl of Cheetos and my tall glass of Pepsi with ice cubes where it's sweating on the glass. And I put that right next to me and I pick up the good book on diet and exercise. And I start reading. Pop a zesty cheese Dorito in my mouth, and I take a swig of Pepsi. And I'm like, "Oh, this is such a good book. This is such a good book." And I keep eating, and I keep eating. And I'm like, "There's a paragraph in this book? I think I'm going to highlight this paragraph in this book. This is a good book." And I eat my Cheetos, and I eat my Doritos. And I get to a passage, and I'm like, "Man, that is a good word to me. I think I'm going to memorize that line." And I highlight it, and I try to bring it to memory. And I start eating my Doritos and my Cheetos, and I just wash it down with that ever so good tasting Pepsi. You know where I'm going with this. But if I stay glued to the sofa with my zesty cheese Doritos and Pepsi in hand, I'm a fool. I'm fooling myself into thinking that I'm going to arrive at my destination simply by reading the word. I'm not living the word. I'm not putting into practice what this book is teaching me. I'm not living it. And the reality of it is that my life won't change until I get up off of my blessed assurance and start living what I know to be true. And that is worth an amen, right? Okay, here we go. So let me finish what James, the brother of Jesus, chapter 1. It says, "Don't deceive yourselves by just listening to the word. Instead, put it into practice." Don't deceive yourselves by just listening to the word. Instead, put it into practice. And look what he goes on to say, or just listen to what he goes on to say. "If you listen to the word, but you don't put it into practice, you're like people who look in the mirror and see themselves, but once they walk away, they forget what they look like. But if you look closely into the perfect law that sets people free," this is the word of God, the word that gives us God's perspective on life, "and you keep on paying attention to it, and you don't forget it, but you put it into practice, you will be blessed." Notice that the blessing doesn't come from the reading, it comes from the doing. You will be blessed by God in what you do. The most important spiritual activity we engage in every day is choosing. And living with wisdom is a choice. And you've just heard 5 ways the Bible encourages us to live with wisdom. So here's the question. Are you going to do anything about it? Are you going to put in practice some of those things you've just heard? Or do you just say, you know what, that was a nice message. Let's just go home. If you're not going to do anything about it, you've kind of just wasted an hour of your life. And remember, God does not bless good intentions. He blesses wise choices. And God is saying to each of us this morning, it's your move. It's your choice. Will you choose to do the wise thing? Will you lean into learning how to live wisely? It's all right there. Let me close by praying a blessing. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for everybody who is here today. Your word is so clear to us. You continue to bless us with so many blessings, and you've promised so many benefits if we simply choose to stop living according to what we think is wise, our own ways, but if we'll simply pursue living wisely in our life. And so, Father, I pray for everyone who is here today that we would do these things, that we would firstly listen to you every day, that we would get alone with you, quiet our hearts, and hear what it is that you're saying to us through your word. I pray that we would develop the discipline of getting alone with you and of receiving this input from you in our life, of enjoying times alone with you where we can simply speak with, hear from you, share with you, but receive the truth. Father, this is so critical for our lives, and I pray that this church family would be known as a deeply spiritual church family, one that is so closely and intimately connected with you, that the most important thing in their day is to make time for you. Oh, Father, forgive us for those things, those times where we just let the clutter of life bump you out of our schedule. Help us, Father, to seek time alone with you. And then, Father, I pray that we would be wise in choosing to do life with those who encourage us in our faith journey, those who have our best spiritual interest at heart, who want to grow in wisdom with us. Help us to find those people, to make the commitment to meet with them regularly, to ask one another what you're saying to us and how we're putting that into practice. And Father, as we meet, give us the humility to ask questions of one another, to learn from one another, to accept correction from one another as we adjust our lives to the truth. Father, assist us by your Spirit that we would adopt that posture in our life. And Father, do help us to remember what we've learned. May we review those things that you have taught us, to take time to hide your word in our hearts, to really just cling to the life lessons that you've taught so that we would grow in wisdom. And finally, Father, help us to put into practice those things that you are speaking to us. We're adjusting our life to what you're saying, and we want to do. Father, assist us by your Spirit to that. For those of you who are here today, and maybe this is the first time you've sensed God's Spirit working on your heart, and you've sensed him speaking to you today, and you want to make that commitment to be someone who journeys closely with Jesus, and you want to open up your life to Jesus, you can just say, Jesus, I invite you to come into